Romans chapter 8. We, like I said, we've been going through Romans chapter 6. We learned that we don't have to worry about what we do through works following the law. Instead, we can trust Christ as our Savior purely by faith. And when we're saved, we have a new life. Last week in chapter 7, we learned that even as a believer, things don't always go so well. That because we're still living in the flesh, even though our spirit, we have a new spirit because of what Christ did for us, sometimes our flesh gets away from us. And as Paul said, sometimes the things that I know I should do, I don't do, and the things that I know I shouldn't do, I do anyway. And we can either do like Paul said, throw up our hands and say, oh, wretched man that I am, what am I going to do? Or we can go to Christ and say, thank you, Lord, forgive me what I've done. Help your spirit to fill me, to control me. And now this week, we're going to look a little bit more into the spirit. I know some people are saying, well, wait a minute, it looks like you've been teaching the same thing for the last 3 weeks. No, I've been teaching three different chapters. Evidently, God thought, hey, you guys need this. Not just us, but every believer. You need to understand what you have because of salvation. So, you know, there's a, you've all heard of the UPS company. They're, I don't know if they still do. The UPS company used to have a saying, what can Brown do for you? Well, sometimes we ask that about the Holy Spirit. What can the Holy Spirit do for me? Quite a bit. One of the greatest things about salvation, you know, it's so simple. We come to the Lord simply by faith. We believe, hey, I was a sinner bound for hell. The only one that can save me is what Jesus did on the cross when he shed his blood. I believe that. He forgives me of my sins, and I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm a new creature. Yet, as we've learned the last couple weeks, the flesh still fights against the spirit. And the difference between the two of them is our mind. Let this mind be in you, which is also Christ Jesus. So we're going to look a little bit today at what the Spirit can do for us. One of the things it can do is the Spirit can give us some direction to understand what we have. Here in verse 2, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So the Holy Spirit can help us to understand the freedom we have in Jesus Christ. Prior to salvation, you may want to try to do what God wants you to do because maybe that's what you learned in church or that's what you learned in your families. But until you truly know Christ as your Savior and have that Holy Spirit, you can't really do what God wants you to do. He gives us freedom in Jesus Christ. He gives us freedom, one, to be able to avoid sin. You're saying, well, wait a minute, I still have the flesh. Yeah, but now he gives us a new mind, a new way of thinking. And when we have this new way of thinking, we realize we have a freedom that we never had before. We are free to say no to sin. Amen? All right. Sometimes we don't. We learned that last week. But we have the freedom to say no and get our with the help of the Holy Spirit, to be able to carry out that freedom in our lives. We have the freedom to avoid sin. We have the freedom now to serve God the way God wants to be served. What's that mean? Doing what God wants you for your life. We're going to look a little bit in a minute about purpose. God's given us a purpose. God's given each of us a purpose. And we can only fully fulfill that purpose after salvation with the help of the Holy Spirit. But there's always the flesh. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son, the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We have the freedom now not to have to follow the sins of the flesh. We can follow the Spirit of God. And sometimes, many believers, they've been born again. They've known Christ for years, and they still haven't got this in their mind. I don't have to worry about the things I used to do. I'm free from that. It tells us that sin was bondage, but I don't have to have the fear of bondage anymore. It's gone. It's past. It's like a prisoner has been put in prison. Now he's been let free. Now, if you're not careful, you could be afraid that you would go back to prison. But if you know Christ is your Savior, you can say, no, I'll never go back to that prison because Christ has set me free. Do you feel that freedom in Christ? You should, each and every day. And knowing that we have freedom in Christ helps us to decide, the difference between serving the flesh and serving the spirit. Because now we know we have the freedom to do the right thing. Several times we give in to the flesh, but let's always give in to the spirit because we have freedom. Freedom to do the right thing. Ask yourself this question. Scripture gives us all sorts of commands. I mean, it gives the Old Testament people commands all the time, but the New Testament always gives us commands. And so one of the commands just says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. That means gather together as believers. So if you wake up on a Sunday morning and it's a beautiful day like today, and you decide, man, I'd rather go on a picnic than go to church, is that the flesh or the spirit speaking? You don't have to answer out loud. If you decide to do anything, you know, honestly, I want to encourage everybody. We have a Sunday afternoon service. We also have a Wednesday prayer night service. It's so vital to our own lives and to the life of the church. So ask yourself, I know some of you have to work, and that's, you can't get out, I understand. But if you're not, ask yourself, if I decide not to go to prayer meeting, is that the flesh or the spirit? Now, if you're sick, I understand. But just ask yourself that question. Anytime there's a time to gather together and you don't feel like it, can I be honest with you? There's times I've woken up and I just said, man, do I have to go? I'm just tired. We all get that way. I understand. No, like the old story, the guy wakes up. Honey, I'm not going to church. The wife says, you got to go. Honey, I don't feel like going. Honey, why do I have to go? Because you're the preacher and they're going to miss you. Sometimes I feel that way. We all do. Then I have to say, wait a minute. Is that the flesh speaking or is that the spirit? And if I let the spirit speaking, it says, forsake not this. Another verse, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. That means look at the Word of God. If suddenly you get this inclination to study the Word of God, and all of a sudden you go, yeah, but is there something else I'd rather be doing? That the flesh of the... Be not drunk with wine, whereas excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So if you have a choice between being drunk with wine or allowing the Spirit, is that the flesh of the Spirit? And I could go on and on and on. What we need to get in our minds is realize we have the freedom to make the right decision. And with that freedom, we just need to keep asking ourselves every situation, is this the flesh speaking or is this the Spirit? And we'll make the right one. Why do we want to do this? Because verse 4, because the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us. We now have the righteousness of Christ on us. That's how we can go to heaven. That's how we know we're going to be his children. Over in verse 16 and 17, it talks about we are the children of God. It's one of the things, the fallacies people teach. They'll say the whole world is children of God. But if you study God's word, you'll find out only those who've trusted Christ as Savior and have God as their Father now become children of God. Because it talks about the children of wrath and the children of God. So prior to salvation, we are all creation of God. But we only become his children when we accept Jesus. And because we're his children, we have his righteousness. We have our sins forgiven. We have the freedom to know when I die, I am going to heaven. I don't think I am. I don't hope I am. I know I am. Amen? Because this is what this says. This is what God's word promised. I have the freedom to decide that. What else does Spirit do? Helps us to think. Look at verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. So then they that are in the flesh, what? Cannot please God. It's talking to believers. It's telling us, listen, if you start allowing the flesh to make all your decisions, there's death involved. Uh-oh. Doesn't mean you'll lose your salvation. It does mean you'll lose your fellowship. Remember, we learned this a few weeks ago. Death, the strict definition of death is what? A separation. Okay? So when you die physically, it's a separation of your body from your spirit or your soul. Separation. It talks about the second death. That's a separation of your spirit from God for eternity. This death can be either A, there are believers that get so far away from God, God says basically, and I hope I say this right and don't offend anybody. God says basically, you've made me ashamed too long. You haven't lived like my child, and he takes them home early. There's many instances of that. Remember Ananias and Sapphira in Acts? They lied against the Holy Spirit. God says, that's it. Took both their lives like that quick. Other times, it may take longer. Doesn't mean we should live in fear that if I mess up, God's going to kill me right away. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is if you get so far away from God, the Father, because as a child, he may just say, it's better just to bring you home now than let you get farther away. But death being a separation is also a separation of us from the presence of God. And so I believe this is a lot of what we're talking about here, is when we sin in the flesh, we separate ourselves from God, from his fellowship. We're still his child. He's still our Father. I don't know, this never really happened to me, but I know others. Perhaps, have you ever had your child or your parents get so upset at what you did that they said, I don't ever want to speak to you again, right? Does that make them any less your parent? No. Does that make you any less their child? No. It just means you're not speaking. There's a separation. And so when we become carnally minded, we start thinking more about the flesh, how to satisfy the flesh, the lust of the flesh, and all of those other things. There's a separation occurs because of sin between us and God. We've broken the fellowship. And then we get to this point in our lives where we go, man, I haven't felt God in my life for a long time. Well, there's a reason for that. It's because there's something in your life that's causing that separation. That's why I love 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, your sins that are condemning you to hell have been forgiven. Yet if our flesh sins, he will still forgive those. We just go to him and say, listen, Father, I've sinned against you. I'm sorry. You repent. You've asked forgiveness. He'll forgive you. And now you can return to start thinking spiritually instead of thinking carnally. And that's where we all want to be. That's where Christians need to be. You're saying, well, is that even possible? Well, duh. If it wasn't possible, God wouldn't tell us, right? We just have to make that choice. And so to be carnally minded is death. But notice, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life. Jesus said, I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's a life that... it's full. That's what he wants from us. He wants us to live a life as we think and allow the Spirit to control us and guide us and direct us. A life that has a purpose. Does your life have purpose? You don't have to answer that. Just in your mind. Does your life have a purpose that is consistent with what God wants? A lot of people say they have purpose, but it has nothing to do with God. But do you have a purpose in life that is consistent with what God wants for your life? You know, we call it the will of God in our life, you know. And everybody has a different will, by the way. And some have the same. Like some of those verses I mentioned. It's God's will for every believer to gather together and worship together. But that's just a general will. But there's also a specific will. God's will for my life was to stand up here and preach and pastor. It took me a while to get there, but I finally did. God has a will for your life. And you can't fully carry out that purpose in your life unless you let the Spirit control your thinking to control your action. Then you can fully do the purpose of God in your life. Sometimes, have you ever had it happen? You think you're doing all right, and all of a sudden you do something you know God don't like, and you just feel really bad. I read an interesting quote this week. I just want to share it with you. It says, if you're disappointed with yourself and your actions, it's probably saying that you believed in yourself and not in God for guidance. When you follow your own guidance and not God's, you're going to fail and then you're going to be disappointed. Here's a great thing. God will forgive you that too. And to put it in the past. We shouldn't live in the past. We shouldn't be carrying that weight and the sins that just so easily beset us. That was a message I brought to the nursing home. And thank God we were able to be at the nursing home finally again. We tried to go 2 weeks ago and it rained, so they were able to schedule for this week. And talk about being able to speak and sing in an odd situation. If you've ever been to enhanced care at Laurel Lake, in the back, there's this metal fence where the residents can meet. And inside this metal fence are tables and umbrellas and stuff. So the residents sit inside that metal fence, and the two Jeans and myself, we get to stand in the road outside the metal fence with the speakers and sing and present God's message to them, it's like they're in cages. And it just reminds me, sometimes people, you know, that's when we go out and witness to people and share, really they're behind cages too. They're in bondage to sin. They need to be set free. And when they're set free, they realize there's a life in Christ, a life that they can live, a life that is much, much fuller than any life they ever thought they could have. Are there troubles? Yes. Jesus said, if you follow me, there will be persecution. Yet even in that persecution, if you have the life of Christ, you have joy and peace and be able to go through that. You're able to rejoice going through that. I was reminded the other day of the time I was able to go to Rome and see the Roman Colosseum. And I heard the story of where martyrs, Christian martyrs, were taken into the Colosseum and they would turn the lions loose. Now, they used to do this with a lot of other people, slaves and things. And what do people normally do when they're in there by themselves, no weapons, and suddenly the lions are turned loose and they haven't been fed for a while? You run, you try to climb the walls, you're screaming, you're yelling, all kinds of things. But here's where knowing you have a life in Christ differs with believers that are following. Christians, they would gather together in the center in a huddle, and they would start praying, and they would start singing, even as the lions were coming upon them, singing praises to God and praying that they wouldn't be a bad witness. Even as the lions attacked them, they would pray and sing to their final breath. You're saying, well, how could they do that? What kind of life is that? That's a life that's a witness for God. That's a life that you can only do, only have that ability if you truly let the Spirit guide you. What effect did that have on all of those crowds up there looking to see bloodshed? Many of them look down at the Christians and go, man, I don't know what they have, but I want it. Because they have a peace and a joy, even in the midst of turmoil, and that's what I want. And all those martyrs that died actually probably did more for witnessing and sharing the gospel of Jesus than many Christians do today in the freedoms that we have. Just by not just their life, but the giving of their life. You see, because when you allow yourself to be led by the Spirit, you start thinking like the God. You start realizing you have a life of rejoicing, a life of joy, a life of trusting God in all situations. That's what we need in our lives, trusting God in all situations. You may not understand it. You may not even understand or agree with the outcome. But if you're following the Lord in the Spirit, you realize that no matter what happens, and I've said this over and over, no matter what happens, it's always for your good and His glory. Oftentimes, we want the answer to only be for our good. It's always for His good and our good and His glory. I get it right. And so as we go through different situations, if we're being led by the Spirit, we realize that we have a life in Christ, we'll be able to handle anything that comes along. Amen? Anything. Whether it's good or whether it's bad. And also it says that we have life and peace. Man, that's what people need, peace in their lives. Especially when these turmoils hit. I tell you what, you listen to the news or you read the newspaper, no YouTube videos, please. But I'm talking about, you know, and you're going, what is wrong with this world? What is wrong with people? You see what's happening overseas, and you see one religious group killing another religious group because they don't like the way they worship. That just drives me nuts. It's like, what is wrong with these people? Why can't we just all get along? Well, if you're a believer and you have the peace of God, it will help you to get along with even those who don't believe the same, whether it's religious, whether it's political, whatever it is. If you have the peace of God, yeah, you may argue with them occasionally. My wife and grandson thinks I'm going to jail one for some of the they say on. They've asked me to calm it down a little bit. But at the same time, you can respect them as people and love them as human beings and realize that you have not just the peace with God. Peace with God comes at salvation. Why? Because it tells us that, I lost the verse. Tells us that verse 7, the carnal mind is enmity against God. The fleshly mind, thinking that, is God's enemy. We don't want to be enemies with God. We were enemies with God before salvation, and then when we trusted Christ our Savior by faith, we basically signed a peace treaty with God. We have peace with God now. We're on His side, and He's on our side. But we can also have the peace of God, the peace that Jesus said passes understanding, a peace that knows that no matter what happens around us, even if it's death, I got heaven to look forward to. And God will always guide me if I listen to spirit and not to the flesh. And it's a choice we have to make. Now you're wondering, you know, sometimes, have you ever wondered, okay, I know what I've been doing is wrong, and I know I should pray, I know I should ask God to help me out, I just don't know what to say. You had that problem? That's the third thing we're going to look at that the Spirit does for you. Chapter 8, verse 26. Skip to the toward the middle end of the chapter. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Not only do we have the mind of Spirit, we should be praying with the Spirit. And sometimes we get to a point where it's like, God, I want to talk to you. I just don't know what to say. Allow the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in tune with your spirit. The Holy Spirit can speak to the Father and express what you are troubled with. Express what you're having trouble verbalizing. Let the Spirit speak with you and for you. That's one of the things he was given to us for, to make these requests to God for us as we try to voice it. I don't know about you, but sometimes, I know you hear me up here talking all the time, you go, man, he's never at a loss of words. But sometimes talking to God I am, and I'm sure all of us are that way. Sometimes I just don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. I don't want to say the wrong thing. I want to say the right thing. And sometimes I just have to say, Spirit, help me saying the right thing. And what do I get out of that? Well, one, I get my request made directly to the Father so he can start working on it. But at the same time, remember that joy and peace? At the same time, I start feeling a joy and a peace knowing things are going to be taken care of. I'm not sure what I said sometimes, but I know it was said the right way. So in your life, ask yourself, one, do I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? Have I trusted him by faith and faith only? That's the first step. Then realize, because you have him as a Savior, because you've had your sins forgiven, now you get a choice. Do I let the Holy Spirit that dwells in me guide my life, or do I let the flesh have control? It all starts in the mind, the way you think. You have the mind of Christ. You have the ability to do the right thing. Let the Spirit work through. Now, I understand sometimes, you know, you may see a charismatic or Pentecostal preacher do all sorts of things, saying the Spirit. I'm not talking that. I'm talking the Holy Spirit that dwells within you, guiding you in all things, letting you know you have freedom. Freedom to serve God. Freedom to stay away from sin. Freedom to do the right thing. Freedom to make the right choice. You have a life that God has given you, a new life that has a purpose. Find out what it is and do it. You have a life that can rejoice, a life that can serve, a life that has peace with God. And you have the Spirit that helps you speak to the Father. Let's bow our head just for a moment. No one looking around, please. Just eyes closed, just thinking about what you heard this morning, thinking about what we read, thinking about what God has for you. Jesus did say he came that we might have life and peace and joy and direction. And yet sometimes satisfying the flesh gets in the way. Instead of doing what God teaches, we do what we want, and then we feel bad about it. Let's make that decision that we're going to follow the Spirit's guidance even more and more. And not only will it help you, but it will help all of those around you. I'm not sure how the Lord spoke to your heart this morning, and I'm hoping he did. But I'm going to have just a short prayer before we sing a closing song, an invitation song. But you pray what's on your heart. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we have you in our lives. We thank you that you've given to us the Holy Spirit to be able to teach us, Lord, to live good, godly, moral, Christian lives. Lord, we think of what you give to us in Colossians chapter 3. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affection on the things above, not on the things on the earth. So help us, Lord, to keep looking up to you. Help us, Lord, to make good decisions, godly decisions. And Lord, sometimes, many times, Lord, we know they'll go against what our flesh wants. But we also know, Lord, that one day we'll see you. So help us, Lord, to build a foundation of gold, silver, and precious stones and not wood, hay, and stubble. Help us, Lord, to do the right thing. Lord, I ask that you speak to each and of our hearts today. Lord, if we don't know Christ, that we accept you. If we do know you, Lord, that we just rejoice in the salvation that we have. And Lord, that we make a commitment right now that I will do the right thing according to what you want me to do. We ask this in Jesus' name.